I would like to introduce you Mr. Piotr Wojciechowski, and he will tell us something about IPv6 security.
Good afternoon, everyone. I hope you can hear me. Little difficult problems. Just give me one more second, please. Since my remote controller does not want to work right now, so I'll go without. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm glad everyone came back after such a lunch. And I hope you're ready to listen some few words I have to tell you about IPv6. I will focus about two things on my presentation, about some security issues that comes with the IPv6 addressing that maybe some of you are not aware of, maybe some will, and I hope after this session you will have a little more knowledge about that IPv6 that is over 50 years with us for now. For us, it's not really secure, and I will talk a little about the privacy issues that comes with the IPv6. A few words about me. I'm working now at the senior network consultant at a company called ITM Systemy Informatyczne. I'm working mostly with ISP partners and enterprise customers, so my presentation won't be focused directly on Cisco. I'm not going to try to sell you anything today, but I will show you that Cisco products have some vulnerabilities if it comes to IPv6 and other vendors too. I'm also a contributing editor for a magazine that is called IT in Public Sector. Been a contributing editor with several other Polish magazines, including Linux Plus, Chips, and Chip Special. I'm also one of the administrators of the board called CCIPL. Maybe some of you heard of this. We have quite big section that is focused on the security on this board. Right now, most of the posts are on security session. Although this board is Cisco-oriented, you can find also general topics about security. If you are working more with networks, and especially if you are working with the Cisco devices, you are more than welcome to visit this board, participate in the topics. We have also English sections, so if you're not Polish speakers, you will find something for you there too. Okay, oh, it's not working. Okay, so what I'm going to talk about today is, I hope some of you already played with IPv6. My first question is, how many of you tried to deploy test implementation of IPv6 in your network or on your systems? Only a few. Okay. How many of you are using IPv6 as a production, on the production networks, providing IPv6 services for your internal or external customers? Even less. Okay. How many of you haven't heard of IPv6? Okay. Okay. I hope everyone knows and kind of think about migrating to IPv6, because if you look at the counter, we have less than 2 years until the IPv4/8 address spaces will be allocated. So in 2 years, we can say pretty safe that we will be run out of IPv4 address space. So the migrating to IPv6 is very, very hot topic right now. And if you don't think about it, you really should start thinking about it. What I'm going to talk today about is stateless address auto-configuration and some issues that comes with the stateless auto-configuration, including some possible and easy to perform attacks on your network. Also, I will talk a little about duplicate address detection and few ways you can try to protect your network so those attacks won't be so harmful, or those attacks won't even never happen on your network, including of the features that you have to look when you'll be choosing next devices for your corporate network, when you'll be preparing for some upgrades. And at last, I would like to say a little about this privacy issues that comes with IPv6, because we are not really safe when it comes to hiding our identity and hiding where we are connecting from when it comes to IPv6. Okay. IPv6 addressing consists of three types of addresses. We'll be focusing on the unicast addresses that are assigned to end host. And we have quite many ways we can assign IP address to particular device. With IPv6 comes ICMPv6, which is control protocol that performs functions that's similar to ICMP for IPv4, but also provides some services for network discovery protocol, which is part of IPv6 protocol that operates at link layer. We can think of network discovery protocol as an ARP with some ICMP router discovery and router redirect that we know from IPv4 protocol. I hope everyone are familiar with those protocols and at least know what they are going to do in our network. ICMPv6 protocols define five different packet types that are encapsulated into ICMPv6 messages. Those are router solicitation and advertisement, network solicitation, advertisement, and redirect messages, and we're going to focus only on a few of them. If you look at the comparison of the ICMPv4 and v6, you can see that ICMPv6 is really some background for IPv6 to work. There are many features without IPv6 wouldn't work. So ICMPv6 is protocol that have to be protected, and unfortunately so far, it's not. When it comes to address assignment, well, we can always assign address manually, and we do it for every servers and every other device that requires static addressing. But when it comes to large enterprises, it's not efficient way. So we have several other ways we can assign IPv6 addresses. All of them were defined in the appropriate RFCs. I think what you will mostly use in your networks is stateless auto-configuration, which I would like to talk today about. Also, DHCPv6 is available already for IPv6 addressing, and it's defined in appropriate RFC. There's some hybrid that has been created to make administration tasks a little easier. It's stateless DHCPv6, which is a combination of the stateless address auto-configuration and typical stateful DHCPv6, and something which is called DHCPv6 PD, which is designed for the ISP networks for the prefix delegation, which we won't be talking about today. Okay, so let's look at the SLAC, which is acronym for stateless auto-configuration. This is the easiest way of configuring IPv6 address for the end device and host, whatever you want to connect. You just have to configure your router to advertise appropriate message on your network. Then every device you want to plug into your network will automatically configure his IPv6 address as well as default gateway without anything you have to do. You can this way connect your mobile phone, your laptop, desktop computer, even Coffee Express if it supports IPv6, anything. And you don't have to do anything, just configure your one device, which is router. IPv6 address is 128 bits long, and it consists of two parts. First 64 bits is the network identifier, which is assigned for you by organizations like RIPE or YANA. There are private public spaces defined for IPv6, but they are not meant to be used widely. What you'll be using in your corporation is public addressing, and you will have appropriate prefixes assigned from RIPE or other organization. Next 64 bits is host portion address, and it's created when it comes to devices like laptops or other internet devices. In the convention that is called EUV64. I'll show you in a second how it looks like. This address session is based on MAC address of your device, and this address session is not random. So every time you connect to different address space, this portion of the IPv6 address will always be the same. How the EUV address is created? We're taking our 48 bits from MAC address, we're splitting it into the half. We are putting in the half the FFE bits. So we have now 64 bits long IPv6 address. And we are also swapping 7th bit of the first octet from 0 to 1. And this is EUV64 interface identifier, which is used by your end host device. This identifier is created by your endpoint device. Router has nothing to do with it. What router sends you is local prefix, the first 64 bits of IPv6 address, as well as some other informations like a lifetime of the announcement it's sending, link address layer of the router, which will be default gateway for your host, priority of the message that it's sending, also some additional flag that is used between stateless and stateful address assignment, as well as the MTU of the segment, because in IPv6 network, the end host is responsible of segmenting IPv6 packets. This only information is sent from router with ICMPv6 message called router advertisement. And this is how it looks like when the new device is connected. The host laptop you are connecting to the network is sending some kind of form of query. It's called router solicitation. It's also ICMPv6 message. This message is sent on the IPv6 unicast address called all routers on the segment. And router that is responsible for handling traffic on the segment is sending response for this particular query in ICMPv6 message router advertisement. This is sent to also to unicast address all host, because this router doesn't know of address of the host that is querying about particular informations. The reply consists of prefix, lifetime, and other informations. And basing on this information that is received from the router, end host builds its IPv6 full address, including the prefix and its EUE identifier, and putting appropriate configuration on the interface and routing table. Router advertisements also are sent on the periodic time, because this information has to be revalidated, otherwise it would expire. Therefore, there's some problems that might happen on your network. Imagine yourself that you have some customer, maybe user of your network, that's not really nice, and it's trying to perform man-in-the-middle attack. What the user can do is send malicious router advertisement from his router or his host, and he can make all the hosts in your network send the traffic not to the default router that should send, but to this malicious host that is going to capture this traffic, maybe Discord. We don't know what we can do. This attack is pretty easy to do. We just have to configure malicious device. There is no protection against this attack on that is built in the ICMPv6 protocol itself. It can even not be an attack. It can be even your user that will misconfigure his machine. There's a common problem with Windows 7, Windows Vista, OSs, because when Windows gets on his Ethernet interface public IP address, it automatically starts to create automatic 64 tunnels. Over these automatic 64 tunnels, Windows tries to establish communications with any device you're trying to communicate. This can lead to exchange of router advertisement and router solicitation messages on that segment, and it can affect your internal network. So it can you can expect an attack, but you can expect also a misconfiguration from the end user that may come in your network. Here's how this attack can look like. We have host A that is trying to communicate with router B, and we have Roach host C that is sending router advertisement message into your LAN segment. There are two messages that were sent from the attacking host. First one, if you see, have lifetime zero. Lifetime zero means that we're telling end host that erase any information you had according this particular link address, link local address, from your interfaces and routing tables. Forget that that this link address ever exists. Then it sends his own link local address, and it sets probably all the traffic that should go to him or to any IPv6 address that it's not valid for that for this segment. So this traffic will be dropped. That's how the particular attack can look like. As you can see, the end host, what he will do? He will first deprecate the first IP address, then he computes his new IP address and will perform duplicate address detection, which I will tell you about in a few minutes. And then he will totally change the routing tables and the way he's handled this traffic. In normal operations, of course, the address may not be changed because when it comes to IPv6, on particular network interface, there can be more than one valid IPv6 address assigned for this interface. And this is normal operation for the end host, that when they get new router advertisement, that they will not deprecate all IPv6 address, so the communications that has been created over the old IPv6 address is stable. No needs to retransmission, no needs to recreating any TCP connection that can be still exists. But of course, not IPv, not operating systems follows with that regulations. And every new connection that this end host will try to establish, even having old IPv6 addresses still configured on the particular interface, it will try to use new IPv6 address that is that will be assigned with the local router advertisement message. Duplicate address detection. Duplicate address detection has been created to avoid having two identical IPv6 addresses on the segment. The computers, when they are creating new address, they are sending message asking all their neighbors, hey, if everyone having the same IPv6 address like I do. In the normal situation, they should never receive a reply for this particular query. But unfortunately, this is also duplicate address detection, also part of ICMPv6 protocol, and it's not protected. No, there is no authentication about who is asking and who is replying to this query. Therefore, there is possibility of simple denial of service attack scenario when we have some Roach host who will be replying to all duplicate address detection messages that it hears on his LAN segment. It's pretty easy, just a few lines of code, just hear for the message and reply, yes, I have this address, don't use it. Most of the operating systems will try few addresses before they give up and said, okay, I cannot configure new IPv6 address, I cannot use this segment. Sorry, try to manually configure this IPv6 address for me. Here's how the attack scenario can look like. Host A is asking, do I have, is anyone having my IPv6 address? And the Roach host replying, yes, it's me. So, pretty simple. Unfortunately, yes. How we can protect? Of course, those attack scenarios that I showed you so far are not the only one that can be done against ICMPv6. I just want to show you that there are pretty simple scenarios that can be performed on your network without your knowledge. And if you are using IPv6 as a production, oh, there can be much of disturbance in your network. How to protect? First of all these attack scenarios are only can be performed on your network segment. ICMPv6 have this built-in protection mechanism that says that source address of every ICMPv6 message containing anything that comes with network discovery must be link local or unspecified for router advertisement, and hop limit have to be set to 225, so the maximum. Every router that receives that kind of the message from its segment should discard it and never forward to other segment. I haven't heard of any vendor that hasn't implemented this policy. So we pretty much can say we are safe when it comes from the attack that not comes from our segment. Too bad we are still vulnerable for the attacks that can be performed by our users. How can we protect? I will try to show you now. There is nice RFC that defines something that is called secure network discovery. Secure network discovery consists of two things. First is cryptographically generated IPv6 address. And there is a mechanism that provides you a way of authenticating the router or other device you're using at the edge of your network, of authenticating the router advertisement messages that it's sending to end host, so the particular PC you have on your network can trust the information it receives from the router. SEND has been defined in 2005, and there are three proposals of the deployment. I will show you just one of them. Network discovery messages has been extended with few options that have to contain some additional information, so like certificates. What we do first is creation of the IPv6 address, but not using EUE64 identifier. To create IPv6 host portion address, we are using the prefix that we are receiving from the particular router in the router advertisement message. We are using the interface. We are using the public key that we are obtaining from, in example, from the router. We are using the link layer address we are using so far because there has to be some connection with our link layer address. And we are using, this is called nums. This here is called other parameters. It's a random number, so our network IPv6 address, our host identifier, is always changing. We're performing SHA-1 function on this data, and we're getting 64 bits host portion of IPv6 address. Having this address, we can perform some authentication over the routing advertisement messages. This is one of the scenarios. Of course, we don't have to always have a certificate authority server. The certificates can be stored also on the routers, which is, of course, it's less secure, but also can be deployed. This is the preferred model of the deployment, where we have certification authority, which provides first certificate for the host. So if host trusts certification authority, it's OK. Also, the certification authority provides certificates for the router. Router sending requests, getting its certificates that it signed. And we have now fully configured network. So we have something we trust. We have something that will sending message. And we're having host that will try to authenticate this message. When the new host is connecting to the network, the host is sending information like, hey, I trust my certificate authority. Who are you? Why you're sending me router advertisement? Can I trust the information that you're sending me? Then the router is replying, yes, I am the router of your segment. Here's my certificate. You can use this certificate later if you need to generate new address. And my certificate is signed with the certificate authority. So if you trust him, please trust me and let me be your router for this segment. The host, of course, performs verification. And if everything goes OK, it starts using the information provided from the router B as its default gateway, as a portion of to create IPv6 address. So it's pretty much OK. If router cannot certify himself, then host and host shouldn't use at all, shouldn't use this information at all, should drop this message, ignore it, and try to assign IPv6 address in the default way. Configuration of send on Cisco routers is pretty easy. We just have to generate particular RSA key. We can later sign it either by the certificate created on router itself in the easiest deployment scenario. We can send it to the certificate authority external, some certificate authority that we're going to use to certify all our keys. And we're just saying on particular interface that we're going to use CGA, which is certificate generated address, on this particular segment. And for all addresses that, because that will be advertised on this particular segment, because if you put IPv6 address command on the particular interface of sub-interface, the interface automatically starts sending router advertisement with information you provided for this addressing. Of course, you can disable this function, but by default, it's enabled. So we are saying that, OK, I'm using CGA on this particular interface, and I'm advertising this interface on this interface, also using CGA messages. This is pretty new function on the Cisco routers. It has been introduced with 20.4 2014 release, which is just one before latest 15.0. You can have on your devices right now, mostly ISR routers and 7200. Those are platforms that supports send so far. Also supporting particular Linux distributions and kernels is available. Big disadvantage, Vista and Windows XP, Windows 7, nor other Microsoft products will probably never support send. This is Microsoft's policy. Not really clear why, but they say just no. Well, maybe a little push on the Microsoft might make them change their mind. We have to just show them that we are going to use this kind of protection in our network. Send protects you from the attacks against your particular network segment, against your own users or anyone who can access to your network. But it also produces new kind of security threat. All the cryptography operations that have to be done on the end host and the router are CPU consuming. So we can pretty much think about the scenario when some rogue user are sending a lot of requests using network discovery and waiting, making our router or other host generating lots of responses that have to be every time generated. Every generation of public key, including public key operations, is very CPU consuming, so we can easily produce an attack that will just overtake our CPU on the router or particular host. So it's, even if it's safer to use send, it's not. There are also particular scenarios that may make it not really safe. Of course, on the Cisco routers, we have something that is called control policy, control plane policing. We can try to limit amount of data that router CPU is going to calculate, so maybe not all the CPU will be overtaken. What else than using SEND we can do? We can try to using IPS and IDS products that will try to that will be looking what's going on our network, and we'll try to find those router advertisement messages. As I was checking a few days ago, unfortunately on the Cisco devices, there are no, for the IPSs and IDSs on Cisco devices, there are no signatures for those kind of attacks yet. But we can, from what I know, we can probably get some update near time soon, which will consist of some signatures. Great disadvantage of this thing is that we have to have sensor of on every segment of our network. This attack can only be performed on a particular segment, so we have to have sensor on of every segment. One of the free software that you can use is NDPMon. This is open source software that listens of router advertisement message and check the validity against the pre-configured XML file. So you define that in this particular segment, we are accepting only those prefixes. Those network prefixes are valid. So if any other prefix will be announced on this network segment, the NDPMon should send us an alert that something is going on. This is IDS, not the IPS. It won't prevent from the attack. It only will show you that something wrong is going on. There are other products. Okay, I think the slides should be in different order. On Cisco routers, one thing you should really do at the beginning, because when you're implementing IPv6, the designers of the protocol thought that, okay, we can advertise one address, we can try advertise others other addresses. So in case our default router went down, the other will overtake the functions because all the end hosts will already have information that there are other default gateways for this particular segment. Good, but not enough. Standard level of the router advertisement messages is normal. So if anyone on your network will configure another router or send another router advertisement message with the high preference, all the hosts by default would start using this new taken information of the default router. So what you have to do on your Cisco routers at the beginning is set router preference to high under the particular interface configuration. This won't prevent attacks, but it can help with non-malicious some misconfigurations of IPv6 addresses that your users can do on your networks. Other tool I would like to mention is RaphxD and Ramon.D. Those are also open source tools. What they are doing? NDPMon just listen to the messages on your network and just send you information that something wrong is going on. RaphxD is trying to proactively prevent or making the attack on your network less harmful for you. It listens on the router advertisement messages, and if something is not that's what it expects, when the router message is detected, the RaphxD sends by himself new router advertisement messages on this on your segment, telling first, please clear the message that you have received from this rogue host, and please put the correct informations back into your routing table. It won't prevent an attack, but may reduce a lifetime of the attack that this particular user is creating on your network. So we can only have short breaks of communications, not total loss of communications, which is always a little better. Okay, but what we really need, and this is something, in my private opinion, which all the vendors pretty much overslept the IPv6, in my opinion. It should be done months, if not years ago. Those are hardware protections pretty similar that we know from the IPv4 protocol. We are waiting for VLAN access list for IPv6. We are waiting for port access list for IPv6 that we can filter particular traffic on the interfaces where this traffic shouldn't ever happen. We are strongly waiting for route advertisement guard so we can set a trust point on our network. So we're saying, hey, this interface can send route advertisement. I know I have a router connected to this port, and all other interfaces on my switch are not trusted. All router advertisement from those interfaces should be discarded. We're also waiting for features like DHCPv6 snooping, which will work similar like DHCPv4 snooping, and something that will work like dynamic network advertisement inspection. We don't have it yet, unfortunately. And most vendors is saying that, yeah, some of the features are on the roadmap, and unfortunately, some of the features require hardware upgrades. So it is, I doubt that the switches you are currently using will ever support this kind of protection, at least not in the hardware. But if you're ever going to replace your old switches with the new one, take a closer look what security features, when it comes to IPv6, those LAN switches are going to provide you. Because you don't want to buy something extra cool, so many ports, pretty cheap, but giving you zero security. Now, okay, this is part when I'm stopped talking about ICMPv6 and the problems that comes with this protocol. I would like to, at the end, talk a little about the privacy issues that comes with this IPv6. Imagine yourself this situation. You are a worker that is traveling a lot. When you're not using cryptographically generated IP addresses, only the standard EU64, your last 64 bits portion, the host portion of IPv6 address, will always be the same. So it's pretty easy for network administrator to track you. You were here. 2 hours later, you were in the coffee. Okay, then you were at home. Not pretty safe. We don't want to share those kind of informations with our employees, our friends. Well, we don't want to be tracked. This issue has been described in 1999, and the response was created in 2001, also in RFC, which is called Privacy Extension for Stateless Address Autoconfiguration in IPv6. Later, it was updated. But what we can do about this problem? We can try to add something that makes this IPv6 host portion random. What is it? We're going to add some hash function that will make our IPv6 host portion address random every time we connect to the network. What more? We would like this address to change every like 10 minutes, every half hour, so it will be even harder to track us. And this last point states this. Hosts that are following the RFC 4941 changes periodically the IPv6 addresses and starting to use new one. Old addresses are usually kept because, as I told you before, old communications cannot be dropped. Well, imagine yourself, you are downloading some cool movie and every 30 minutes the communication is dropped because our host is changing IPv6 address. Not working. Usually, host kept their IPv6 address unless they have no data transfer, no connections over the particular time. Then it thinks, okay, nobody is using this IPv6 address anymore. I can safely drop it. There is probability close to zero that we'll have two identical IPv6 addresses on the segment. And even if it happens, we have duplicate address detection in IPv6 built-in in ICMPv6. So this is the scenario when some host may reply us, hey, I'm already using that kind of address. So our host just have to generate itself a new one. Cisco routers, because they are not in host, are not using privacy extension by default. They shouldn't. Windows, oh, there should be XP. Windows XP, Vista, and 7, and several Linux distribution uses it by default. The server editions of the Windows, like 2000, 2003, 2008, are not using, because they're meant to be servers, not the workstation that are moving between particular subnets. Of course, this feature can be disabled, and in the corporations overseas, in the United States, where IPv6 has been deployed in more than test environment, when some users are trying to use IPv6 in their corporate networks, administrators to track the user disables this functionality. This can be used. This can be done by setting Linux kernel options. That can be done setting in Windows it's called administrative domain, something like that. It can be easily changed by admin. So if you ever get your corporate laptop, try to check if this privacy issues, if the privacy extensions are enabled. In example, on macOS, it's not, which is kind of strange for me. You can buy a new laptop and you have no privacy extensions on the Macs. And it's pretty much all for me. Any questions?
Does the use of IPv6 stateless configuration, like router advertisement, solve every issue with connected with IP routing, like DNS servers and so on?
What you are getting with the IPv6 stateless configuration is link local address only. Link local address only can be used for the communication within your organization, also can be later used with the communication with the internet. It's just a way you can assign IPv6 address for the end host. It's just a way that you don't have to do pretty much anything instead of configuring your router at the edge or any device that will be performing all the routing. And but the connectivity with the IPv6 cloud as itself is the other issue. It's a topic of the routing of the particular accessing. Of course, I show you, I'll check back. There's a stateful, let me get back. Because you have right with one thing, DNS IP addresses, oops. Almost there, okay. With stateless address address configuration, you're only receiving such a things like IPv6 address, the network host portion of the IPv6 address, and the default router address. You're not getting anything like DNSs and so on, but you can request them from the stateless DHCPv6 server. You have this M and O options in the ICMP message, in which you can define that I want to receive such as information. This is pretty common implementations so far, that you are creating small DHCPv6 server on your edge router that will only provide you information about your nearby DNS servers. And therefore, you're creating your IPv6 address by default using stateless address auto configuration, and using stateless DHCPv6, you're pushing information about DNS servers to this end host. By default, no such information is provided.
Okay, I've got another question. You told us about the ACLs V6. Is there any roadmap for the layer 2 switches that will get ACLs V6 or the DHCP snapping V6 or something like that?
When
because
it comes
there
to
are many vendors, yeah? You are talking usually about Cisco, but you've got many vendors usually there is a lot of companies that doesn't use Cisco products and use rather cheaper stuff, yeah, because all of us cuts costs, yeah, Huawei, etc.
Okay. When it comes to Huawei, I haven't heard of any features like that and haven't heard that they are on the roadmap. When it comes to Cisco, they are on the roadmap, but not confirmed it for any platforms. So we cannot really say when it will be available. When it comes to small platforms, the SOHO devices like D-Link, Linksys, and other, usually it's like you're first getting those features on the big platforms, then it's implemented on the SOHO devices. So I would rather say push big vendors so they create it on their devices, and then you can expect this getting on the SOHO net, SOHO devices. Yes?
Because I'm from the G-Link, I want to say that I have a roadmap and we have switches for second layer, and I can say about details later.
Good to have vendors here too. Okay, if that's all, one more.
I would like to ask if there is also the requirement, as was in RFC for IP version 4, that when you've got a TCP connection, which is basically inactive, no packets are going through, you are not supposed to drop it. Well, Cisco routers do that, but you are not supposed to, according to RFC. If that is also a requirement for IP version 6, and how it goes together with the address changes, privacy extensions and so on.
When it comes for addressing, hosts kept their past IPv6 addresses because they have to handle communications that comes over those addresses. The host periodically itself changes the if there is any traffic going through this using those address spaces, using the open connections. It's pretty stateful mechanism. You can look at the IPv6 address, have a list of the open TCP connections, and no connection, you can pretty safe assume that you can pretty much drop down this IPv6 address. When it comes to RFC, I don't remember if there's any specifications about that, but I'm not 100% sure. I haven't been looking at that. But from the host side, I know that at least so it's implemented in Linux that they're looking if there are open connections, and if not, after a particular lifetime, if when this expires.
There is a slight slight difference that according to TCP connections, you should look that the connection exists and it's still open, but not it's used, actually.
Yes, but in the case of the network failure, there can be particular time when the connection is still open, but it's not inactive.
It's left to application.
Yeah.
TCP.
Mostly.
Thank you.
That's all? Okay, so thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wojciechowski. And now we are going to have a 15-minute break.